This morning's scripture will be taken from Matthew 6, starting in verse 27. And if you're using the red Bible behind the pew, it's on page 812. Matthew 6, starting in verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You, O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek these things, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble.
Do something a little bit dangerous as we open our sermon this morning, and that is to let you into the mind of a preacher for a moment. Sometimes it is a little bit intimidating to get up here to preach, and one of the reasons it is sometimes intimidating to get up here to preach is because as a preacher you fear that it may be perceived as though you are tone deaf, as though you are maybe not thinking about what's going on in people's lives, or maybe that you are intentionally preaching at someone or to everyone, in this case this morning. Though that may be the case for some preachers, that they like, they get a thrill out of preaching at people and coming down on them or whatever it may be. That's not my intention this morning. And I realize that on the heels of a natural disaster, a sermon about not worrying can sound or seem maybe a little bit tone deaf, because as it maybe was the case, all of us last week and even through the week were maybe struggling a little bit with concern about, worry about the natural disaster as it was taking place and the aftermath thereof and the lost lives that were so tragically taken from family members and loved ones. I also realize that even after the events of yesterday in Pennsylvania, that some of these things might be on our mind and concerning to us. And so, again, thinking about this idea of it being slightly intimidating, and I want you to realize I do have proof, evidence, in text form of KJ asking me a week or two ago what I was planning on preaching this Sunday. And I was already planning on preaching about worry before any of this even took place, that the hurricane was still headed on its way to Brownsville at that time. But that doesn't change. I got to asking myself the question, well, even if it was maybe tone deaf, if it was perceived as such, does that change the message of Jesus in Matthew chapter number 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, which was that we ought not to worry? And he gives several reasons why, and we'll explore that more this morning. As we consider these things, as we think about the idea and the concept of worry, is it something that is present, prevalent in your life, that you're struggling with? Because as we think back to this last week and we think about the situation, the current events of our nation, it may be that all of us are somewhat trying to combat this battle with worry. Worry is one of those things that maybe we never fully are able to overcome, in the sense that it's something that is constantly that something that we are battling and dealing with. Whereas we might be able to overcome some sin over here that is maybe a little bit more to rid ourselves of, because if we just get rid of this one thing, well, if we eliminate that temptation, if we eliminate that opportunity, that sin would be more easily rid from our lives. But worry, on the other hand, is something that maybe persists with us and something that we struggle with, perhaps even on a daily basis, maybe even to our deathbed. And so this morning, as we see on the screen, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life, in Jesus' question there? Or which of you, by worrying, I also want to give this caveat, because again, I want us to understand, in the mind of a preacher, it is sometimes intimidating, daunting to have people think that maybe the preacher's not also thinking about the fact that individuals sometimes deal with clinical issues, things that are maybe beyond their control, anxiety and depression and things of the like that are maybe physically driven, that are outside of their own mental control because of various chemical factors or biological or genetic factors. And so understand, again, the things we're talking about this morning are not necessarily dealing with that, but rather that as we think about worry, I want us to first begin with asking the question, why do we worry? The reason for why we worry. As with any sin, worry derives, it comes about because of the result of being drawn away by our own lusts and giving into those things, James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. And the real question, though, is why do we seek to add to our life, as that translation puts it in Matthew chapter 6, to add to our life by worry? Why is it that we even go about that? Because if we really think about it, what do we think we're going to accomplish by worrying? What rational person could say, by me fixating on something and thinking about it over and over and over again and worrying about it, that I'm actually going to be able to accomplish anything from it? We all realize that nothing positive necessarily comes from worrying and fixating on things in that way. And so why do we continue to worry? As you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 from our scripture reading this morning, I want us to maybe go back a few verses prior to what was read and see that there might be some indication there about why it is that we worry. I want us to see from verse number 19 through 21 that first and foremost, we worry because our treasure is in the wrong place. We worry because our treasure is in the wrong place. See what Jesus says in the previous verses before our scripture reading. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is it not evident to us, as we think about the things for which we worry about, that very often it is because our treasure has been placed on things here on earth rather than things in heaven? That as we start to think about and take inventory of the things of which we struggle about worry, could it not be because we are, instead of placing our treasure in heaven, we are instead placing it on earth? But not only that, as we continue in this section, our worry comes about as a result not only of the fact that our treasure is in the wrong place, but also because our eyes are on the wrong things. Because our eyes are on the wrong things. Continue reading verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, as we think about what our eyes are taking in and bringing in, or what we are fixating our eyes on, it leads to not only our treasure being in the wrong place, but because our eyes are focused on the wrong things, we end up developing into the state of worry. But then continue on in verse 24. That we worry not only because our treasure being in the wrong place or our eyes being on the wrong things, but also because our allegiance is divided. Our allegiance is divided. Jesus says no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so we worry, not because we have genuine concern, as we'll talk about here in a little bit, the distinction that I believe is to be made between genuine concern and worry, but rather because our eyes are focused upon things they ought not to be focused upon, and our allegiance is given over to a place that it should not be given to. That instead of our full allegiance and our full focus and our full devotion being given to God, we have one foot in and one foot out. We're straddling the fence. And as a result of that worry being developed because of treasure being in the wrong place and our eyes being on the wrong things and having one foot in and one foot out, worry persists in our life. Now, what I want us to also understand this morning is that ultimately worry reveals that we have a skewed perspective on what life is all about. If you look back at those three things, what we're focusing our eyes on, where our heart is, where our treasure is, what we are devoted to, all reveals an answer about what our perspective on what life is really all about. Now, that is not to say that those of us that are Christians that truly do have Jesus as our Lord will not still continue to struggle with worry. It's not a referendum that if you have worry in your life, that therefore you have a completely false view of what life is all about. Rather, I want us to understand that when we worry, it is that we are beginning to let that mentality creep in. That we're allowing the world's mentality that says that the world, that life is all about the physical, that life is all about the here and now. That when we begin to worry, it is that influence of the world's message that is beginning to creep in to our hearts and to our minds. And so consider the problem with worry. We've considered why we worry because of where our focus is, because of where our eyes are, because of where our treasure is. But now consider what Jesus says from our scripture reading this morning, what the problem with worry is. Worry is first and foremost reckless. Having considered what we just said about the point of life and our perspective on what life should really be about, notice that when Jesus says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing, the implication is, yes, it is more than about food. And yes, it is more than about clothing. And when we live in such a way that says, I'm going to be more concerned with my clothing and what I'm going to eat and my physical things in this life, that it is ultimately an indictment upon what we think about what our life is all about. And it's an indictment upon what Jesus is saying. That is to say, if Jesus says our life is more than just about these things, and we live in such a way that we say, no, my life is not about those things, but it's rather just about the physical, then it is reckless because we are going against what Jesus said. Worry is reckless. Consider also that it is needless. It's needless. Perhaps you were like me on the day after the hurricane. You drove around. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but maybe in your yard, after the deluge of rain we received, the morning after the hurricane, your sprinkler was going off. Did you see any of those neighbors of yours in which their sprinkler was going off even after we just received all that rain, and it was unnecessary, it was needless? You think about what Jesus is saying here in verse 26, it's needless for us to worry because the things that we're worrying about with regard to clothing and food, God is already going to provide for us anyway. So why do it? It's needless. But even more than that, it's pointless. It's pointless. Verse 27, which of you by worrying, as the New King James renders it, can add one cubit to his stature? Or which of you by being anxious, as the ESV says, can add a single hour to the span of his life? This is a rhetorical question. The answer is no one can do that. So why do we continue to do it anyway? After worry, we still have the same problems. They haven't gone away, but now we've just added to our problems. We've built onto those problems, maybe in gray hairs or other problems that we cannot see internally. But going back to the previous idea, even if worrying could help, it's needless because God's going to provide for you anyway. It's pointless. You can't do anything about it by worrying, and it's needless because God's going to provide for you anyway. But the two I want us to really focus on above all out of this section are these last two. Worry is faithless. Worry is faithless. Notice verses 28 through 30 again. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow will be thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? When we worry, we are demonstrating a lack of faith in our God. Worry is not bad just because, well, it does things bad to you physically and you maybe end up putting yourself in a nervous wreck. And Jesus isn't just saying, don't worry because, well, you're going to end up giving yourself higher blood pressure and your heart rate's going to increase and that's dangerous. No, what Jesus is saying here is that when we worry, it's wrong, it's bad, it's unfortunate because it is demonstrating that we do not have faith in our God. I saw this week one individual said that when we worry, that it is communicating that though I might say as a Christian that I trust him with my eternity, when I worry, I'm saying I don't trust you with my present God. You hear that? When I worry, even though I might be a Christian and I'm worrying, what I'm saying is, God, as a Christian, I trust you to deal with and handle my situation in eternity, but I'm going to continue to worry now about these physical things, perhaps, and I'm not going to trust you with those things. Even though God provides for the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, God, and those things are less important than me, I'm going to continue to still worry. That's what worry says. It's faithless. And then finally, from this section, it is also focusless. Focusless. Notice verses 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus says, when you worry, your focus is on the wrong place, as we talked about on the previous slide. The Gentiles, those who do not trust in the God of heaven, they are concerned about these things. That is their focus. That is the here and now. That is the physical. And when you engage in those things, your focus is lost. Your focus is on the wrong place. Instead, as Christians, as those who trust in God Almighty, we ought to remember that our sole focus in life, the only purpose and only reason that we have in this life for living, is to know God and to glorify him. And when we worry, our focus has been altered and we've taken our eye off the ball. We no longer give glory to God, but rather we bring all of the attention upon ourselves. But again, having said all that, I want us to make sure that though we recognize what the problem with worry is and we understand where worry comes from, I want us to make sure that we accurately understand worry. That is, to accurately define worry. Worry is, as we said, from the New King James Version, sometimes translated as the word worry, but in other translations, such as the ESV, translated as being anxious. But if you go back to the original King James, it translates this idea of worry as taking thought. Taking thought. Worry is fundamentally allowing one's attention to be divided or distracted or taken away from the focus upon which it should have its place. As we just said on the previous slide, again, worry is focusless, and that's a problem. And I want us to make sure that we understand that worry, taking thought, is dividing one's attention away from where it should be on God Almighty and placing it on something else. What I want us to do is understand that worry is not concern. Worry is not having compassion. Worry is not even dealing with and struggling with some sort of agony or difficulty. For if it was the case, Jesus himself was in agony in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, as he prayed in the garden before his crucifixion, to the point at which his sweat was as great drops of blood. We know that Jesus did not sin. And to be concerned about his loved ones, such as Lazarus and Mary and Martha, to be concerned about those who were in Jerusalem and having compassion upon them as those who were sheep without a shepherd, none of those things are worry. To be concerned about and thinking about and worried about in that sense, not worry as we're talking about in the sense in which we're being sinful, but rather that we are thinking about others and being concerned about others and even being sometimes even concerned about our own soul is not sinful. It is good. It is right. And so maybe let's divide and split the difference between and understand the difference between worry and concern. We might say that worry seeks to be in control. Worry seeks to be in control while concern rests confidently in God's control. You ever been there in your pursuit of something that you've gone to the point that you're worrying about it, that you are trying to control and manipulate every situation so that your desired outcome comes in that situation? But rather, when we are concerned, and rightfully so, about something that is godly, that is spiritual, that is what Jesus would be concerned about, we rest in, confidently in, God's control in this world. To be concerned about something is not to worry about it when we rest confidently in God's control. But also consider that worry fears the unknown. It thinks about what might be, what could arise in the situation, and it fixates on it and it worries about it, maybe to the point of making one sick. But concern responsibly prepares for eternity, what we know will come. Again, it's not wrong to be concerned about my spiritual state. It's not wrong to be concerned about the spiritual state of someone else, because we see that eternity is coming and we want what is best for ourselves and for our loved ones, knowing that it will be coming in eternity. That is judgment. And so worry fears the unknown. Worry seeks to be in control. Worry often causes harm to others. Worry often causes harm to others, while concern results in blessing others. You understand what we're saying here? So often it is the case that when we're worrying, we're fixating on something, that it leads us to act out in a way against other people, that it causes harm to them. Or because of our worry, we begin to do things that are sinful or wrong, and it ends up causing harm to other people because we have this one goal in mind, and the end justifies the means. So often is the case with worry, and it causes harm to others. But genuine, godly concern results in the blessing of others. That is to say, when I'm concerned about the soul of someone I love, when I'm concerned about someone's physical needs because they have lost power this week or because a tree fell on their house and I'm genuinely concerned about their well-being, it's about blessing them and helping them and finding ways that we can seek to encourage them in those situations. That's not worry. That's concern. That's love. That's compassion. And so, how do we identify in our own lives if I am actually worrying and not just being concerned? Some diagnostics. Consider first that concern becomes worry when your prayers have ceased. Concern becomes worry when your prayers have ceased. Turn and look at 1 Peter chapter 5. We just said on the previous slide that when we're worrying, we seek to be in control. That is to say that we think as though we have the ability to fix the situation instead of trusting in God's providence, instead of trusting in God's care. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, it sounds a lot like this idea of pride. When we worry, when we seek to have control over the situation, it says, I am capable, that I can fix this, that by worrying, I can do something about it. But instead, notice what Peter says. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care, your worries, your anxieties, the same word here, upon him, for he cares for you. You can identify in your life if you're worrying about something, if you haven't been praying about it. If you're praying about it, it might seem to indicate the alternative, which is you're just genuinely concerned. But when you are worried about it, you're no longer praying about it, you're fixating on it. Your prayers have ceased, your thoughts are consumed. Concern becomes worry when your thoughts are consumed by this thing that is on your mind. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says that our minds ought to be focused upon, let your mind be fixed upon spiritual things, upon Christ. Those of us that have been raised up with him, let your mind be set on spiritual, on righteous things. Things up above, Paul says. But when worry creeps in, our thoughts become consumed, and we no longer think upon spiritual things. How often is the case that because of worry, we forget about our great salvation? Because of worry about the physical things, we neglect to remind ourselves of things that we just considered upon the Lord's table. That is what Jesus has done for us. Our thoughts become so consumed upon what we are digesting and ingesting from the world, the media, that we begin to worry and neglect what God has done for us. Your actions also are compromised. Concern becomes worry when your actions are compromised. That is to say, you are compromising in areas that you know you ought not to be compromising because you want the ultimate end to come about that you're hoping for because of your worry. That is, again, that we said, the end justifies the means in this case. In James chapter 4, verse number 17, therefore to him who knows to do good but does not do it, to him it is sin. And yet sometimes because of our worry, because of our sinful concern, we go to these links, these ends, to say, I know this is wrong, but I'm so worried about this situation, I'm going to do this thing anyway to get what I want. And so our actions become compromised. But turn as we close to Philippians chapter number 4. How do we deal with this worry? How do we deal with this worry in this situation in which our prayers have ceased, our thoughts are consumed, our actions are compromised? In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. How do I do that, Paul? How do I do that in the midst of a natural disaster? How do I do that, Paul, in the midst of turmoil in our nation? How do I do that when things are going so terribly wrong in my family and difficulties are present? How do I rejoice in the Lord always? Dealing with worry looks at it from this angle. We keep concern as concern because instead of letting our prayers cease, we pray right. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now notice verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you want to keep concern as concern and not let it develop into worry, pray right. As we said, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, cast all your cares upon him. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray the song we sing? Do not worry about anything. Go to God in prayer about everything, one man said. Pray right. If you want concern to stay concerned, pray right, but also think right. Think right. Verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. Now, we're not suggesting that you should stick your head in the sand and ignore and say la, 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 la about all the things that are going on in the world around us. Yes, those things can be concerning and we ought to be aware of those things, but it ought not to be the case that that is the only thing that I am ingesting in my mind. That is to say, I'm thinking upon the terrible things and the evil things that are happening in our world, and I'm thinking about all the things that I don't have, and I'm thinking about all the things that I wish I could have. Instead, if we don't want to worry, if we want our concern to stay concerned, we think on and meditate on things that are of good report, things that are true, trustworthy, and noble. And what better place to start than right here? Not only does it take prayer, but it takes the study of God's word to avoid worry. To deal with worry, spend time in prayer to God and spend time in prayer, spend time in his word. But then finally, realize that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9, not just about praying right and living right and thinking right, but also living right. The things which you learned and received, verse number 9, and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's not enough just to say, I'm going to read my Bible and pray about it and then continue going on living the way I want to live. It may be the case that worry exists in your life because there is sin still present in your life, and you know deep down inside that that sin is going to result in eternal damnation. This morning, we ask the question of you, are you trying to add a single hour to your life by being anxious? As we pointed out, it's pointless. You cannot do that by worrying. You cannot help yourself in a physical sense in any way by worrying. Rather, pray right, think right, live right, PTL, remind yourself of that. Write it on your hand, write it on your mirror, put it on the rearview mirror of your car. Remind yourself all the time, pray right, think right, live right. And in so doing, you can combat worry. This morning, as we said, concern is not wrong, and it may be the case that you are concerned about the spiritual state of your soul. And you may be right to do so, such that you are separated from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tells us that sin separates us from God. And the only way that that sin can be bridged over is by Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And all it takes from us is to respond in obedient faith to him, to accept that invitation that he has given to us, to no longer worry about the things, the physical things of this world, but to say that I trust that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, to repent of the things that we're doing wrong and to get rid of those things, to change my mind about what is right and now start following what Jesus says, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and ultimately having my sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. If you haven't done that this morning, worry is going to persist in your mind because you know that you are separated from God. Maybe it's the case that you have been baptized already and you have had your sins washed away, but sin has creeped back in. Or maybe the idea of what this world is and this life is all about has begun to become skewed by what the world says, and you've begun to worry again. What's the first step? Pray right. Come forward to this front row, and it won't be like we're just staring you down and judging you, but rather that we want to pray with you. We want to help you in this situation. If you want your life to be made right this morning, if there's anything that we can do for you, we ask that you come as together we stand as we sing.